sometimes back, I was talking with Clyde and told him I had received an invitation to go to a church and speak concerning soul winning. And as we've talked together and shared together, Clyde wanted me to speak and share with you all the messages that I attempted to preach there, but they're not just the same because they're different and will be different every time I stand to speak. And so today I'm come back following last Sunday. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share and to be a part of the fellowship and a part of the work of the kingdom of God in this church located in Flowery Branch. I realize that as a group of people that we have come through a lot of things and come to a place where we sit before one of the greatest challenges that any church could ever face. And every week I find more people in more houses within just a mile or so of this church. And I see people, you know, that up and down the streets as I go and as I travel through and stop sometimes, but the world really should literally be on the heart of God's people. And by what I mean by the world being on the heart is its lostness and its needs. I realize that so many times the world is in our hearts, and therefore we're not as effective as we ought to be in seeking to lead others to Christ and winning others to Christ. And today, as I come, I just want to share with you a few things that I think might be helpful in your life and in my life as we try to reach out to those around us that are lost. And I would love to see all of us come to a place as I sought to help us to see where we needed to be from last Sunday as I spoke. Being God's child and having a life that has been cleaned up whereby God can fill us and God can use us, and that we might be able to be an effective soul winner for Him. And so today, as I come, what I want to do, I want to just come to the place to where I believe that we have a desire and that we have a longing to be a soul winner. And as I share with you, I'll share some methods. And also, I will share with you the instructions that God has given us. And I will share with you the motives. And I think that will thrust us forth in doing what God wants us to do. And I really would love to see all of us for God just to loose us and just help us to get rid of all of the things that hinder us and cause us to be unable to be as effective as we need to be. And so whenever Lazarus was called forth from the tomb, the Lord said, loose him and let him go. I just think of all of the things that God can do whenever we, as His people, when we come to a place and just want to be loose and unencumbered by the many things of the world. And whenever we will lay aside every sin and every weight that hinders us and besets us and makes us sometimes miserable and makes us sometimes useless and get rid of all of the clutter in this life and in this world, and then focus on doing what He wants us to do and living the life that He wants us to live so we might be able to live in victory and in joy and find that this life through this old world can be a joyful experience whenever we live it with Jesus and whenever we seek to honor Him. And I was thinking the other day about many people, and this morning as I was sitting in my house, I had just started thinking about a group of people who gave their lives as missionaries and as people who was committed to the Lord. And as I was reading this passage of Scripture and read it many times, and it's a very familiar passage of Scripture that we use over and over and over. But I hope and pray that today that this passage will come alive in your heart and in your life. And you will find that in Matthew chapter 28, we find that the Lord give us our instructions if we have come to a place in our lives in having Christ in our hearts and having a commitment to seek to win other people to Christ. He tells us what we can do and what we should do. And I would like for you to open your Bibles and just turn to that passage of Scripture, and you will, you know it by heart, and you can quote it. But I want you to listen again to the commission and to the instructions God has given us in order that we might be able to go forth and that we might be able to do what He would have us to do and the challenge that He has laid before us. You will notice, first of all, in verse 18 that Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Sometimes ago, it hadn't been too long ago that I was reading this passage of Scripture. And as I was reading, the one thing stood out very greatly to me as I was looking on it, and I've never really let it just sink into my heart and into my life. But before Jesus told the disciples what He wanted them to do, He wanted them to understand one thing, that all power in heaven and on earth was given unto Him, and that He has the power to do anything and to accomplish anything. And we notice that in the days of Jeremiah, someone asked, "Is there anything too hard for God?" And the question came back, "There's not anything that God cannot do." And so whenever God saved us and whenever He called us, and whenever we come to a place where we sense our responsibility to take the gospel to the entire world, beginning where we are, He wants us to understand that, first of all, that He has authorized us that we might represent Him and that we might go and that we might share the gloriousness of the message of salvation and redemption. And He wants us to be faithful in proclaiming it with an awareness that we have been authorized to represent Him in our world of today. And so whenever we go out, we do not have to go with fear and with intimidation. And we are not intruders whenever we speak to individuals and try to help them to understand that they're lost and in their sin and that they need to accept Christ and what Christ has done and provided a way of salvation and redemption for them in order that they might come to Him and our sins might be transferred to Him and that we might be able to be declared no longer guilty, but stand before God, having been washed in His precious blood. I love the song that you were singing a while ago, Chris, and the other song, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." One of the things that gives us great confidence to face anybody and to witness to anybody, no matter who they are, is that God Himself has intervened in our lives and saved us and redeemed us, and He has empowered us to represent Him. And so whenever we go, we don't need to worry about interfering in other people's lives, because we're not interfering. What we are, we're liberators, seeking to liberate people from sin, set them free from those things that prevents them from being able to live a life of joy and happiness and usefulness and productivity. And God wants to bless us and make us so full of His Spirit and give us such of a joy that what we have is contagious and people would have a desire to know the Lord. But I have had the wonderful privilege of sharing this glorious gospel for 60-something years, and many of you for many, many years. We've been able to go, and in the name of Jesus, having been appointed of God, and being able to confront people. There's been times I have found it very difficult to make a visit. And I have seen the times whenever I just was kind of afraid to go to somebody's house to talk with them about the Lord. And I remember going to one house one time, and it was a person that had a wealthy, wealthy, wealthy man. And he had influence in the community and everything, seeming like he had everything, but he did not know Christ. And I felt like it was my place, because if I didn't go, I was got questioning who else will go, what other pastor will go. And so that was not any of my business. God spoke to me and told me that I needed to go. And so I made up my mind I was going to go. I didn't know how he was going to receive me. And I was kind of afraid and kind of a little intimidated in some way. And so I found it difficult to go and knock on the door. And so I didn't turn in the driveway. And so I went on by. But later I was sat down and just before God and I prayed. And God took away all my fear. And I was able to go and knock on the door unafraid. And so God wants us to understand people are lost. And they're without Him. And God has saved us. And He has authorized us to interrupt their lives. And to interrupt their home, whatever. In any situation, and share with them about the Lord's love and the provision He's made for them in order that they might come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And so the Lord wanted the disciples to understand that all power in heaven and on earth is behind them, and they would be under His care, and He would be working through them and authorizing them to be His witnesses in today's world. And He tells us what not only is He full that He has power in heaven on earth, but He told us to go. Now, whenever He tells us to go, I got to thinking about the fact that we go. We go, and we're a going people. As we go, and I think that the Lord is just simply saying, as you go, for one thing, as you go, as you live your life, as you go to work, as you go to school, as you go to the grocery store, as you go fishing, as you go golfing, as you go squirrel hunting, as you go wherever you go and whatever you're doing, you should always have first and foremost on your mind that you're living for the Lord. And then as you work and as you shop, God gives you opportunities that you might speak to an individual and that you might be able to say something to them that might trigger their awareness that they need God. And you hear me sometimes talk about different things I've said and things that I've done. And I fully believe that God just a couple of weeks ago used me to say a word to a young man that was a Christian, brought up in a home of mom and daddy who loved the Lord and cares for Jesus. And he's gotten up and he had gone off to was involved in college work, and he gotten to the place with all of the worldly things around him, the way people were living and all the things that was taking place. He began to kind of question the validity of the Christian faith. And as I asked him, I said, "Son, are you a Christian fella?" He said, "Well, sorta." I said, "Son, that ain't gonna get it done." And I said, "What do you mean, sort of?" He said, "Well," and then he shared with me he was raised up in a Christian home, and that he went to church. But he says, "But aren't there other religions in the world?" I said, "Son, there's a lot of religions in the world." I said, "But there's only one Savior. There's no other religion. There's no other way that anybody can be saved except through Christ, through the Christian religion, the only Savior that we have in our world. And we need to understand that. That we, as we go, we are to be His witnesses, but also not only are we to be His witness as we go living our lives, but sometimes God lays it on our hearts to go see somebody. And sometimes He lays it on our hearts to assume a responsibility in the church and to teach and to help people come to know Christ and also to help develop them after they come to know Christ. He calls some to be missionaries. He calls some to assume responsibilities to do things in the church and around the church. But it's a glorious thing to know that as God has commanded us to go, He tells us what to do. And He tells us to teach. And whenever He's talking about teaching, what do y'all think He's talking about? And I wish that churches could understand this. And I wish Sunday school classes could understand this. That whenever we come to the house of God, perhaps this is the only time anybody in that class ever has a time to really reflect upon God's Word. And we're to teach the Word. And we're to share the Word. We're not spend it in talking about sports and activities and this and that and the other, but teach the Word of God. Amen. I don't know of anything that's more needed in our day than for us to have an understanding of God's Word. and have it. And then as we understand it, then we find answers to our problems, and we find solutions to the things that we're trying to work through, and we find instructions on how to cope with things and deal with things and live a life that is usefulness. And I'll tell you, if you'll fill yourself full of the Word of God, you'll find the greatest joy you have ever found in your life. And I've got where older I get, the more I read it, the more I like it, and the more I'm in it, then the more joy I find. And I find myself, I sing more in my old age than I did in the years gone by. And I just start off, and that's really, I love that song, son. I love music, and we got a singing religion. We got something to sing about, and we ought to sing. We ought to be happy, and we ought to be full of joy, and we ought to allow that God and His Holy Spirit to fill us and to help us and walk with Him and rejoice in Him. And going to church ought not to be like taking a dose of castor oil, and talking about Jesus ought not to be something that you're afraid to even mention His name, because it is that name, that glorious name, that's above every name, and that one day every knee shall bow in heaven and in earth. And that tells us if you don't bow before Jesus in this life, then in that day, whenever you stand before Him, you will bow before Him and you will acknowledge Him. And so He instructs us to go and to teach, and He tells us where to go, and to all nations. And you know, whenever I was reading this, that thought came to my mind of the man in Gadara who was dwelt among the tombs. And whenever Jesus met him and He got him straightened out and he got saved and he was set in his right mind, he got clothed and got dressed up, and he'd be dressed like he ought to, and I could preach a sermon on the dress code that we ought to follow. And we ought to always remember that whenever we become a Christian, and we not only have a clothing as dress, but we dress our lives up, and we become kind and caring and loving, and people want to be around us and delight in our presence. And there's some people that whenever they walk up, it lights everything up. And also, I have people sometimes that walks up, if you're not careful, you'll get depressed. But I want to tell you something. I don't know of anything. I don't know of anything any greater and anything more glorious. And I forgot where I was and what I was trying to do this morning. But I want you to know this wonderful and glorious thing that tells us where to go. And wherever He wants us, that's where we ought to be. And if He wants us somewhere else, we ought to go. And if He tells us to go see somebody, you better go. And I tell you, I could stand here and talk and tell you time and time and time again. I had to struggle about going to Indonesia when I was a student at New Orleans. And God kept me here. And I think that any time you become a Christian and come to know the Lord and you really want to follow Him, I believe you struggle with many things as to where God wants you to be a missionary. Many of you sitting in this pew today, you struggle if God wanted you to go as a missionary. You can be a missionary and be a farmer. You can be a mechanic. You can be a planner. You can be a lot of things. And you're needed in many parts of the world with your expertise and with the leadership of the Holy Spirit, when God can fill you and work in you and through you in order that you might work through those ministries and open people's heart and see you at work and want to come to know Him who makes your life so glorious and so wonderful. And so God sends us. And I can remember one day whenever I wanted to do something and I had planned to do it, and I got took care of a lot of things so that I could sit down that afternoon and watch a program that I wanted to sit down and watch. And I sat down. Don't have any joy. Have me a good time, you know. Something kept gnawing my heart. And there was something on my heart. And there was somebody out there that had visited our church and had indicated they wanted to be a Christian. And I tried to find them all week long. Went everywhere. And I really tried. And I had to get up, Chris, and get in my car and go again. One more time. And I had to find those folks. Make a long story short, I found them. And four people were saved that afternoon. They had said, I want to be a Christian, and I don't know how. I had to go. Wherever God wants you, any given time, and any stage in life, wherever you are, you might get older and not have a lot of responsibilities. You might want to go to the foreign mission field, or you might want to work with the home mission board. You might want to go move out to Seattle and work in a church over there that needs help, person, work. There's no telling. There's so many things that whenever you live your life and every step of the way, God may want you to be somewhere, but be wherever God wants you to be. I tell y'all right now, I hope y'all got fastened down. I'm going to have to go a little faster. But I want to tell you something. The only place where I ever found happiness and found joy and excitement, whenever God told me to go somewhere and I went. When God told me to do something and I did it. But I've always found unrest in my heart if I didn't do what God told me to do. So whenever God tells you to go, and whenever God tells you to do something, then you go. And so God is speaking through in this passage of Scripture, just reminding all of us that He is the source of all authority, and He is sending us forth. And He is the authority behind us. And we go out to represent Him, to tell a world that is standing in desperate need of knowing Jesus Christ, because our world is in chaos and turmoil. And I meet people every day, just if they would only open their hearts up and let Jesus come in, the difference that it would make. And said He'd go into all of the world and teach the gospel and teach the word and teach it in church. Teach it wherever you go. Share Jesus wherever you go. There's just something about the gospel different from anything else in all of the world. And I've seen all you had to do was just simply share the story of Jesus and people would come to know Christ. I remember one time going into a group of people and there was a lot of people there and were making a visit. And as I made the visit with this other pastor friend, he wanted to make an announcement about the revival we were in. And then he said, then we'll go on. But I said to him, I said, I want to say a word. And so I asked the group, is it all right if I share something with y'all for just a few minutes? And they kind of nodded in agreement. So I shared the story of Jesus and what all He had done in order that they could be saved and come to know the Lord and had prayer. And then we came to church that night, and whenever the invitation hymn was given, there was a young girl that was sitting in that group that afternoon who received Christ that afternoon by hearing a wonderful story of salvation through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we're to teach the word. We're to share the word. And whenever you teach the word, then people come to know Christ. Then as a church, we have been authorized and instructed to baptize those who have come to know Christ. And whenever you receive Christ in your life, you need to follow Christ in believer's baptism. In obedience to Christ, it does not save you, but it's an act of obedience to what He's instructed you to do in order that your first testimony might be sharing with the congregation how that you have received Christ, and you're buried with Him, and you're resurrected into a new life. And what a glorious opportunity. And whenever we come to know Him, you should never be ashamed of Him. But when you come to know Him like you ought to, you will not be ashamed of Him, and you'll readily and gladly respond unto Him. And then whenever they come to know Christ, we are to help them and grow them and teach them what we know. That's why Sunday school is so important. Whenever you come to know Christ, we have groups where people are meeting and studying the Bible. And if you're not in Sunday school, you ought to make an effort to get in a Sunday school class. And we need to look at Sunday school and do a little changing in our Sunday school and provide classes for every age group. And we may have to knock out some walls and put a tent out there or do something, but we ought to provide. And if we don't provide, then they're not going to have that opportunity to be taught the Word and grow and understand the wonderfulness and gloriousness of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so whenever we come to know Him, Jesus says, come. And whenever we come to Him, then He says, follow Me. And whenever we follow Him, He tells us, I will make you to become fishers of men. And I'll promise you, If you ever receive Christ and you follow Christ, you will become a fisher of men. You will come, seek men and want to win men to Jesus Christ. And so soul winning has always been a matter of the heart. A matter of the heart. And whenever you begin to think of somebody that needs to know Jesus, and whenever you know that people are lost, and you realize the judgment they're under because of their sin, and without Christ, they're under the judgment of their sin. Their sins have separated them from the Lord. And the only way that they could come back to the Lord is that they might have a Savior, and that's why Christ came, the sinless, spotless Son of God, and He took our sins upon Himself, that we might be able to come to Him and allow Him to be our Savior and ask Him to come into our hearts and into our lives and receive Him as a personal Savior. And whenever you get people on your heart, you're going to pray for them. You're going to care for them. And you're going to reach out to people and try to bring people to know the Lord. And we find that whenever we come to that place and we find it's a matter of the heart, then you need to know how to use the Bible. And there's a lot of people that just do not even know how to use the Bible. I didn't know how to use the Bible when I first got saved. And it was several months before I could ever take the Bible and use it and helping folks to come to know Christ. But I could go get them and bring them to church. And I could tell them, you know, a different to talk to them about the Lord, but I did not know how to take the Bible. And I had a preacher friend that came and helped me in a revival. And we were working together, and we went to a house one day, and there was about four or five children under a tree. And they were sitting down and shelling peas. And we walked up, and Ed went over to one of the young ladies, and he asked her, he said, are you a Christian? And she said, no. And he said, well, let me show you how to be saved. And so he took the Bible out and showed that little lady how that she was a sinner, but what Christ had done and how she could be saved. So every one of us ought to know the Roman road. We got some tracks out there with it on. You ought to have one of them. You ought to take one of them. And every week you ought to get some tracks. You ought to pass them out and do different things. But you find that you need to know how to use the Bible. A little revival was taking place in Flower Branch some years ago. A young man that I had witnessed to was there, and he went down during the invitation. And not during the invitation, but while they were singing before the church ever got into the service. And whenever he got down and was praying and people going down and getting around him, they went on and on, for 15 minutes. And finally I said, well, I'm going to go down and talk with him, because I hadn't met Raymond on the streets of Flower Branch and had talked with him about the Lord. And I went down and I got knelt beside him. I said, Raymond, I said, why are you down here? Do you want to be saved? And he said, yes, sir. I said, you mean to tell me you've been down here this amount of time, you're not saved yet? And he said, no. I said, well, do you know how to be saved? He said, no. I said, well, let me show you how to be saved. So I just read right out of the scripture how to be saved. Like all of you know, man, like you all have witnessed to people. And Raymond prayed and this Jesus came into his heart. And I said, Raymond, are you saved? He said, yes, sir. And I got up and went back to the pew, and people started coming, getting around him again. You can pray and pray. Sometimes you need to do something besides pray. I remember one time there was a lady in our church who was expecting a baby. And that Sunday morning, I got a call. They think take her to the doctor. And I ran her out there real quick. Was going to have prayer for her. She didn't need prayer. I need to get out of the way and let her get to the hospital and deliver the baby. But we need to know how to tell people how to be saved, folks. And I pray to God, if you don't know, that you will follow the Roman plan of salvation. Just Romans 3 and 23 and Romans 5 and 8 tells us what God does since we're all lost. And 6:23 just tells us how that the judgment of God is upon them, but God loved us and provided us. And Romans 10:9-13 tells you how to be saved. And so we need to know. And also another means, that thing that we need to know, is how to use our testimony. And I don't know, back yonder years ago, whenever my life has been so different from a lot of people. And I was going on a mission trip, and we had drove down to Miami. And we was fixing to catch a plane and go to a place where we were going to witness for and preach and visit throughout the islands and down in the West Indies. And my sister-in-law told me, said, "Paul, you ought to share your testimony." And I had kind of gotten away from sharing my testimony. And because a lot of time when you share your testimony, if you're not careful, there's somebody sitting in the pew. See, all he's doing bragging about what he's done. I shared my testimony one time with a man, and he said, "Yeah, I'm a self-made man too." But I want y'all to know I'm not a self-made man. Ain't no telling what I'd have been if I hadn't accepted Jesus. And all of you know my testimony. From only having a fourth grade education with no help and nobody to do anything. God saved me, and finally I yielded to his call. And he worked out every detail. And I could stand here and tell you every detail. How he provided in everything. And I never wanted for anything. How he gave me a place to preach and how he moved me from place to place. And he went before me and made a way and had me set up before I ever got there because I had no money and no one helping me but God. I meet guys who said some wealthy person, you know, saw them and they wanted to contribute to their education. I never had anybody do that for me. I didn't need it. It had been wonderful. It had been helpful. But I went to school on credit. But I want to tell you something. God makes a way when there's no way. If you ought to sit down and write out your testimony. And you ought to get to a place where you can share it in just a few minutes. And if you want a guideline of how to put your testimony together, you turn over to Acts chapter 26. And you'll find that the Apostle Paul, whenever he was standing before the rulers, and he shared his testimony. And Paul shared his testimony time and time and time again. And he talked about what he was before he met Christ. What happened when he met Christ? And then what happened after he met Christ? And you ought to read chapter 26. And you ought to reflect on about what you were and how God saved you. How it's been since then. And be able to share with people the gloriousness of salvation. And I have used my testimony on many, many occasions. And I went to a man one time who couldn't read or write. And as I sat down with him to talk to him about being saved, and using the scripture, it seemed as if he held in contempt what I was doing. So I told him about when I was a little boy, how poor we were, and how that I didn't had to quit school in the fifth grade, didn't have much of an education. And I just told him, and he related to me and related to what I had to say. He felt like I felt. Nobody wanted to be with him. Nobody wanted to didn't respect him. And as I was sharing my testimony, Junior White, tears began to drip down his cheeks. And Junior gave his heart to the Lord. Some of y'all knew Dean Jones. I went by to see Dean Jones after I came to Pastor Flower Branch Baptist Church, 26 years old, and his family had been in church all of his life. And I sat in his living room, and as I was sitting there talking with him, and I asked him after we talked a while, I said, "Any of y'all got any questions?" And Dean said, "Yes, I've always heard it said that whenever you get saved, that you'll know it." I said, "Yeah, that's right. That's true." I said, "But let me just share with you how I got saved." And I shared with Dean how that I was sitting in a pew, and how that I just felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the drawing of the Holy Spirit during the invitation, and how I responded to God the best way I knew how. And Jesus came into my heart. I started preaching a revival the next Sunday. Gave the invitation. The first person down the aisle was Dean Jones. Devil tries to confuse you even when you want to be saved. He thinks that he's going to pick you up and flip you over a pew a time or two. And that you just got to really weep. But people come in different ways in simple faith. and in simple trust. And I've seen a little child, 7 years old, come to know Jesus. And I, at that time, didn't think a little 7-year-old girl could understand. But that little girl proved me wrong. She's lived and glorified the Lord for 60 years. And so we ought to share our testimony. And we ought to know, have it down pat. I come to another entire section. Y'all want it now or later? And I'll tell you what. Let me just kind of summarize that last section. Carolyn, it's not the big things we do, you know, that bears witness and helps people come to know Jesus. Sometimes it's a mama that prays for her children throughout for long years. And sometimes it's the kind of deed we perform for somebody whenever they really need somebody. Sometimes it's whenever we become a friend to someone who doesn't have a friend. Sometimes it's whenever a young person in a church, popular and everybody likes them a lot, and another young person come to church and never really been accepted by a group of young people. And because they are a little different when they come in, sometimes the youth group just kindly want to get with the people they know and have a good time and kindly ignore that young person. And being a pastor, I watch these things. And then many times because of that person not knowing Jesus, and my heart go out to him because I kind of felt a lot of that at one time. I go to the person that's the most influential in a youth group. And I say, the Lord has laid you on my heart to talk to today. I got something that God wants to do with you and through you. I say, I guess you know this young girl or boy or whoever it is that started coming, and they kind of out on the periphery of the group. I just wonder if you would become a friend and just take them in because they're lost and they don't know Jesus. I've never had a young person to say, I won't do that. And I've never seen a young person who was accepted that was not saved. Young people, I'm going to tell you something. You better be careful. If you know Jesus, you ought to act like it. And if you know the Lord, you ought to know that other young people need Jesus. And if you have been blessed and have so much, many blessings because of the Lord, you really ought to reach out to them. The reason I mentioned your name, Carolyn, was that I hope you don't mind my sharing this. If I thought you did, I would. When I first came to be in service interim here, Carolyn came to me one day and said, Brother Paul says, she said, I'm so burdened for my daddy. She said, my daddy's not a Christian. And she said, I wish you would just pray for my daddy that he might be saved. I said, okay. I said, but why don't you talk to him sometime and just tell him, you know, how you feel. She says, Paul, Brother Paul, I don't know if I can do that. I said, well, Carolyn, why don't you just write him a letter and tell him how much you love him and how special he is and let him know that you are concerned about his coming to know Jesus. And she did. And then as we talked and as we prayed for her dad, we kept on praying for salvation, and her daddy became interested. And then Carolyn said one day, I wish somebody could go by and see my daddy. I said, let's just pray. And we prayed for somebody to go by and see her daddy. I guess it probably wasn't over 2 weeks, was it, before somebody went by the house and her daddy got saved. Folks, I'm not I don't want you to go around with heavy burdens on your heart because you don't confront people about being saved. But I want you to be what God wants you to be, doing what you can do to plant a seed, a deed of kindness, and a word, and a tract that you might just simply hand somebody. Pick up the little boy and little girl next door who mom and daddy don't care whether they go to heaven or hell, and would be glad to get rid of the children for a little while and get them out of their hair. Bring them to Sunday school and bring them to church. You're creative enough. You know ways. And so let me just simply beg you to be a soul winner. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. And if you don't know somebody, make a commitment in your heart right now. You don't have to come forward and say, I make that commitment. Make a commitment in your heart that I'm going to find somebody that's not a Christian, and I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to reach out to them, and I'm going to seek to win them. This morning as I was sitting thinking, I got thinking about the five missionaries that were slain in Ecuador by the Aka Indians years ago. And I got to thinking about five men when I was thinking about the authority of God. And they landed on Red Island. And you know how that Jim Elliott and Nat Saint and the other three, how they were killed. How in the world? Men who committed their lives to reaching these people for Jesus. You don't understand it. But Elizabeth Elliott and Rachel Saint went back and spent years among them. And those tribes came to know Jesus. Christ died to save us all. They died that those people might come to know the Lord. Our motive for soul winning is the love of Christ constraineth us. Paul tells us this in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, and he talks about the love of Christ constraineth us. Our pastor's going to be talking about the love of God in days ahead. But I wish you could understand, and you do understand, the constraint of love, even human love. But the love of God is beyond compare with any love you've ever had. And it's the love of Christ that we have for Him and that He gives us for others that motivates us. And not only, there's only two motives, the motive of love and then the motive of the Holy Spirit that moves within us, that calls us to be willing to go anywhere and do anything in order that they might come to know the Lord. There's another story I'm going to share in closing. I know I've gone a minute or two. Oh, Lord, don't throw me out. But you need to hear this. You need to hear it because I want you to know. You have in your hymnal a book, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. The man who wrote that was a missionary in India. And there was a man that came down out of the mountains. And they were known as a group that was very ferocious. And people had gone up there and they would slay them. And whenever they came down, one of the missionaries, or this missionary, I wrote his name down, but I can't remember his name. He saw the man, and he told the other missionaries that he was going to go up in the mountains and visit these people. And they said, you better not go. He said, they have been several that's been slain that had gone there. And he went anyway, and the day that he was going into that village as he was going up the mountain, all of a sudden he found himself surrounded by the natives on both sides of the road with spears, and they came up on him. And he had a fiddle. And he picked his, and he started playing on his fiddle. All hail the power of Jesus' name. He closed his eyes and waited for the spears. And they never came. And he opened his eyes. And they invited him to go into their village, where he stayed 2 years and shared Jesus. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Power. And some folks are ashamed of it, but there's power in it. Power. Power in his name. And you are witnesses. You are witnesses of these things. We're going to sing a couple of stanzas of an invitation hymn. And this is a time of decision. And every one of us, and every one of you is in this church, you know, there's so many things that we can say about you that's wonderful. But the thing that is so important is that every one of you have somebody. May you be your child. It may be your grandchild. It may be your neighbor, whoever it is. Put somebody, and if you don't have anybody on your heart that you're praying for and want to see come to know Christ, ask God to give you somebody. Lay some soul upon your heart and make a commitment today to be a soul winner. And it might be that only you're reaching out to them and being nice to them, inviting them, whatever it is. But you pray for them, first of all, and pray and pray. And then if you hear and you've never received Christ, why don't you just open your heart up and let him come in and experience the greatness and the glory of life in him when you follow him and listen to him. And if you're here and you need a church home, you ought to just go on and unite with the fellowship and let's get on with the business. Revival's coming up sometimes in the next couple of months. And I would to God that every one of you to make a commitment to be a part of that time and lay everything aside whenever it's set and seek to bring somebody and pray for somebody that somebody might and bring somebody. You be here. But today, whatever God wants you to do, you unite with the church, you come home to God, or you, if you've been away from him and if you're lost, let him come in. May we stand pleased and may we sing. And as we sing, the pastor will be standing at the front, and we just ask for you to come. And in any if you need to be saved, we got people even on the front pew that can tell you how to be saved, and we'll pray with you and many in the congregation if you just want someone to pray with you about something. You come right now while we sing.